There is a book sitting on my desk that I genuinely could not put down. EMF *D, and the question it forces on every reader is this. What if the technology we carry everywhere, every single day, is quietly doing damage we cannot see or feel? Why should our listeners stop everything for this one?
Because it answers a question most people have never thought to ask. We regulate what we can taste, smell, or see. But what about invisible fields radiating from devices we sleep next to? The book argues the answer to that question should terrify us, and it builds a surprisingly hard case.
All right, before we get into that, who wrote this? Who is making this argument?
Joseph McCullough, an osteopathic physician who built one of the most visited health websites on the internet, McCullough.com, starting in 1997. Whatever you think of his positions, the man has spent decades synthesizing research that mainstream medicine tends to sidestep.
So the book's central claim is that our wireless devices are a hidden health epidemic. Our listener's first instinct is probably, if this were real, wouldn't we already know?
That's exactly the instinct McCullough anticipates. He opens by pointing to tobacco, leaded gasoline, asbestos, industries where the harm was real, documented, and suppressed for decades. The author's argument is that we are inside that same window right now, before the reckoning arrives.
But isn't that comparison a bit of a stretch? Those were chemical toxins. We are talking about radio waves.
That's a fair critique, and the book addresses it head on. The author argues the thermal model, the idea that radiation only harms if it heats tissue, was designed by engineers, not biologists, and it has never been updated since the FCC set those standards in 1996.
Wait, 1996? The standards haven't moved since then?
Not meaningfully. And McCullough's point is that those standards measure only acute heating over short windows. They say nothing about chronic, low-level, non-thermal exposure, which is what billions of people experience every single day.
Mm-hmm. So what is the actual biological mechanism the book proposes? Because without that, it's just pattern matching to old scandals.
This is where the book gets genuinely compelling. The author builds the case around voltage-gated calcium channels, VGCCs. These are proteins in cell membranes that control calcium flow. EMF exposure, even at low intensities, inappropriately activates them.
So not X heating the tissue, but Y flooding the cell with calcium?
Exactly. And that calcium flood triggers a cascade, nitric oxide, then peroxynitrite, then free radicals that attack DNA, mitochondria, cell membranes. The author cites biochemist Martin Pahl extensively on this. It's a documented, reproducible pathway.
But our listener would ask, if calcium channel blockers are common drugs, has anyone actually tested whether they block this EMF effect too?
The book raises precisely that. In experimental settings, calcium channel blocker drugs do partially mitigate the biological damage from EMF exposure. That pharmacological confirmation is one of the harder pieces of evidence to dismiss.
All right, and the organs most affected, the book is specific about that?
Very specific. VGCCs are densest in the brain, testes, and heart. Those map directly onto the conditions most associated with EMF exposure in the literature: glioblastoma, acoustic neuroma, reduced sperm quality, cardiac arrhythmias. The author argues that alignment is not coincidence.
The National Toxicology Program study gets mentioned too. What does the book do with that?
It treats it as a turning point. A $25 million government study found clear evidence of cancer in male rats exposed to cell phone radiation. The International Agency for Research on Cancer already classified radio frequency EMFs as a possible carcinogen in 2011. McCullough argues that evidence now warrants upgrading that classification to probable or known.
So for our listener, what is the book actually asking them to do with all of this?
Not to panic. The author is explicit about that. The goal is awareness and behavioral change, because in the absence of regulatory action, individual exposure reduction is the most effective tool available. And the book argues that tool is more powerful than most people realize.